This is your geopolitical risk briefing for February 6th, 2026. I'm your analyst, and today we're examining a moment when the fault lines beneath the global border have become impossible to ignore. Let me start with what should be a straightforward question. Who do you believe about a ceasefire? Your ally who was attacked, or the aggressor who invaded them? For decades, the answer would have been obvious. Not anymore. President Trump has publicly endorsed Vladimir Putin's version of events over President Zelensky's account regarding the recent ceasefire duration. On the surface, this is about whether the pause lasted 4 days or 7, but the strategic calculus here goes far deeper than counting days on a calendar. This represents competing information warfare strategies where narrative control directly shapes policy legitimacy and alliance credibility. The Institute for the Study of War has confirmed what many suspected. Russia exploited the ceasefire pause not for de-escalation, but for missile stockpiling and repositioning forces. This is tactical manipulation of diplomatic processes at its most cynical. Think about the precedent being set. Brief pauses leveraged for operational advantages while maintaining strategic aggression could become a template for authoritarian states globally. We're watching the creation of a playbook. Meanwhile, NATO Secretary General Rutte traveled to Kyiv with a message that should make everyone pay attention. The alliance is developing contingency frameworks that include deploying U.S. forces within 72 hours of any Russian ceasefire violation. Let me be clear about what this means. NATO is preparing to transform from a defensive alliance into an active combatant through a tripwire mechanism. One significant violation, and American troops could be engaging Russian forces directly within 3 days. Now, consider the contradiction. The U.S. executive branch validates Russian narratives. The legislative branch advances sanctions targeting anyone who purchases Russian energy, and NATO prepares escalation ladders towards direct intervention. This isn't policy incoherence. This is institutional fracture, and adversaries are absolutely taking notes on these exploitable divisions. Building on that strategic dysfunction, let's look at what's happening in Abu Dhabi right now. Russian negotiators are pursuing diplomatically what they failed to achieve militarily, territorial concessions in Donetsk. These aren't just lines on a map. Control of areas around Kramatorsk and Slovansk provides strategic defensive positions that enable future offensives. More importantly, the precedent matters. If aggression gets rewarded with diplomatic gains, every revisionist power is watching. And I promise you, planners in Beijing are updating their Taiwan contingency frameworks based on exactly this pattern. Let me shift your attention to the Middle East, where a narrative collapse is undermining decades of American policy assumptions. The Anglican Archbishop of Jerusalem recently provided testimony that reveals a geopolitical paradox. Christian communities are flourishing under Muslim governance in Jordan while facing systematic decline in Israel, despite massive U.S. Christian financial and political support for the latter. The data here is striking. A 50% decline in Israel's Christian population since 1948, regular harassment by Jewish extremists, restrictions on religious celebrations, and the bombing of hospitals in Gaza. Here's the part that should make American policymakers deeply uncomfortable. American churches reportedly fund Israeli settlements more than they support Christian communities in Bethlehem and Nazareth. Let that sink in. The intended beneficiaries of this support are being harmed by it. Meanwhile, in Jordan, King Abdullah serves as custodian of both Christian and Muslim holy sites. Christians hold prominent economic positions despite comprising only 3% of the population. This directly challenges dominant Western narratives about religious persecution patterns in the region. The strategic implications here cut to the heart of American credibility. When ground truth contradicts official narratives, you create a credibility deficit that adversaries will absolutely exploit. Russia and China already leverage accusations of Western hypocrisy in their influence operations. This evidence provides additional ammunition, and they're using it. More critically, this suggests that American Christian Zionist lobbying may be inadvertently harming the very communities it claims to protect. This raises fundamental questions about whether political constituents driving policy fully understand the implementation outcomes. For regional stability, this misalignment between policy intent and effect directly weakens America's ability to serve as an honest broker in Israeli-Palestinian negotiations. You can't mediate when your credibility is compromised by contradictions this obvious. Now, let's talk about adaptation and learning on the battlefield, because Russia is showing us something important. Moscow has shifted towards harder-to-intercept ballistic missiles, Iskander and Kinzhal variants, over cruise missiles. This represents tactical adaptation to Western defensive systems in real time. The simultaneous multi-region targeting approach aims to overwhelm Ukrainian air defenses while maximizing infrastructure damage. But the implications extend far beyond Ukraine. This evolution demonstrates how near-peer adversaries rapidly incorporate battlefield lessons and test Western technology packages to identify vulnerabilities. And you can be certain that China's People's Liberation Army is analyzing these adaptations for Taiwan contingency planning, particularly regarding hypersonic delivery systems and saturation attack methodologies. The shifting geography of power here isn't just military. It's about who learns faster and adapts more effectively. Russia is essentially providing China with a live testing ground for strategies to defeat Western defensive systems. That's the strategic reality of prolonged conflict between major powers. Building on this theme of institutional adaptation, let me connect something happening domestically that mirrors tactics we've seen in authoritarian states. Congressional hearings are now linking LGBTQ+ content on platforms like Netflix to monopolistic power. This pattern, where ideological compliance becomes intertwined with market access, should sound familiar. It mirrors tactics used by China's Communist Party to enforce private sector alignment. We're watching the politicization of corporate America accelerate, where cultural issues become leverage points for regulatory pressure. This isn't about the specific content debates. It's about the precedent of using state power to enforce ideological conformity through market access threats. Simultaneously, Minneapolis is experiencing something unprecedented. 3,000 federal officers deployed to a city of under 500,000 residents. Whether you characterize this as politically motivated targeting of a sanctuary jurisdiction or legitimate fraud investigation, the proportionality signals institutional warfare between governance levels. Historically, such federal-state tensions preceded major political realignments. The current dynamic, where immigration policy, corruption allegations, and federal authority intersect, creates conditions for constitutional crisis if either side pushes confrontation beyond established norms. We're in dangerous territory when federal enforcement becomes this concentrated in jurisdictions with opposing political leadership. Let me take you back to the Cold War for a moment, because declassified intelligence reveals lessons about breakthrough capabilities that apply directly to today's technology competition. The remote viewing program, yes, psychic espionage, created both opportunities and vulnerabilities. When psychic Pat Price accidentally exposed the Sugar Grove NSA facility, it demonstrated that novel surveillance methods can penetrate compartmentalization in ways traditional security couldn't prevent. This forced all agencies to treat psychic phenomena as security threats, regardless of skepticism about the underlying science.